wide path leads to destruction, and lots of people will walk on it. But the road that leads to life is narrow, and only a few will find it. The people who listen to this walk on the narrow road and find God in their hearts. Amen.
Welcome. You listen to One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3. Your host today, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of this nonprofit called Legacy Educational Institute. And Legacy Educational Institute is located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA. Why is that important to you? Because some of you folks have stopped by and have gotten some of our resources, so we'll talk more about that later. But you don't have to remember that, especially if you're driving. I'll give you our website. It's easy to remember. It has all our contact information. It's onewaytoheaven.com. Not .org, but .com. Onewaytoheaven.com. And we call this show the One Way Radio Network because there's only one way to heaven and one way to hell. And we'll talk about the secret, and it's really not a secret, where you can know that you will spend eternity. It's either heaven or hell. And if you knew what heaven was like, and if you understand the source and the creator, the one who created all of us and loved us, in fact, he sent his son, which is himself, to die on a cross for you and for me. Only if we humble, repent, believe, receive, and become, we can know for sure, without a doubt, that we can spend eternity in heaven. But you got to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. So we'll talk more about that. But our local phone number, if you'd like to call it, is 724-983-1617, 724-983-1617. Our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. And I'll even give you my cell number, which is 724-699-3789. So we're going to talk about this topic. We've talked about it in the past. And this is a kind of a pet peeve. Don't judge me. You have no right to judge me. Christians are not allowed to judge other folks. You have your opinions. I have my opinions. Now, it's interesting when people will say that, and I ask them, well, where's their source? And they'll say, well, it's in the Bible. I said, what does the Bible say about it? It said you shouldn't be judging other people. But yet, the same folks are judging us because we're judging them. Let me think about that for a moment. What do you call a person that does that? I think it's called a hypocrite. So let me read one of the verses where they talk about that, and that's in Luke Chapter 6, 41 and 42 says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. This is the King James Version, the Textus Receptus, the majority Greek text. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Either how cast thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine eye, and then shall not thou see clearly to pull out the mote than that is in thy brother's eye. So what is it saying? Take the log out of your own eye But what if the log is not in your eye? Because you have to remember, you cannot take a text, which this is, out of a context and create a pretext. You must examine every verse on the subject in order to come with a valid conclusion regarding doctrine. So when it says in Amos 5:15, hate evil, love good, in Isaiah chapter 5:20, he says, woe to say evil is good and good is evil. Righteous judgment is what they're talking about. But we are judges. Well, we have judges. You are to judge and talk about that. But not righteous judgment. Big difference. So if we were to poll non-Christians, in fact, even some so-called Christians, inquire about the biblical principle that they most wish Christians would adhere to, chances are on top of the would be what? Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. The most popular secular interpretation of this verse is what? Live and let live. Under this line of thinking, it is believed that if a person expresses an opinion of what is right or wrong, and lets this direct relation to their own actions, then they're doing what? They're judging, which Jesus very clearly said not to do. Or did he say to do? The problem with this overly simplistic interpretation, it is what, folks? It's latching on to one specific phrase and problem with this overly simplistic interpretation is that it's latching on to one specific phrase and throwing out the rest of the lesson. See? Taking a text out of a context. Scripture makes it clear that God alone has the power to what? Judge and condemn. Where do I get that? James chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. But the Word also consistently instructs us to do what? Teach the gospel and share the will of God. You can find that in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. That's the Great Commission. We'll talk more about that in Acts 1, 8. Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And Titus chapter 2, verse 15. Warn others of the consequences of their actions. You can find that in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. And rebuke. Yes, rebuke sinful behavior. In Luke chapter 17, verse 3. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. It is obvious then that Jesus was what? Not telling us to ignore sin. No, not to ignore it. But instead, to be mindful how we address it. You know, many people will say, I don't want to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites that go there. Is that true? Of course that's true. And I always ask them, do you ever drive on the highway? Well, of course I do. You know what's on the highway? Hypocrites. If you really want to be honest, you and me are hypocritical at different times and different degrees. So we welcome. The only qualification for church is that you must be a sinner. So if you're not a sinner, you're not welcome. Because all have sinned and fall short of glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of glory of God. Compared to a righteous holy God, you and I are filthy rags. I always say we're basically scumbags compared to a righteous holy God. So the secret is spend an eternity in heaven because a man's appointed once to die. And then comes the judgment. It's like taking a vacation. And you say you won't go the next year. We're talking about forever and ever and ever. You will not get to heaven because you're a good old gal, a good old boy. So the first step is you have to have repentance. There is no salvation without brokenness. That godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. But you aren't going to recognize that unless you humble. Humble, then repent. That's that godly sorrow. Then believe what? Jesus Christ is the God, deity, hypostatic union, fully God, fully man, then receive, and then the Lordship becomes. So you still have old nature, but now you have new nature. So we are all desperate sinners, totally dependent on the grace of God. The Lord is merciful, and he's graceful, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He shows us with gentle correction, love, grace, but when we turn our attentions to the sins of others, we rarely do the same thing. Many times we have hardened hearts. We make our love conditional, offering it only if they immediately repent of whatever sins we perceive them to have and then fall in line with our expectations. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in brother's eye, but perceiveth? That's right, perceiveth not the beam that is in our own eyes. Righteous judgment, yes, but we've got to take the log out of our own eyes. In a fit of self-righteousness, we become their judge and jury. We ignore the inconsequential sins in our own lives. After all, we are all forgiven if we humble, repent, and turn a spotlight on the misdeed. That is not what God asks of us. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. How do I know that? It's not me telling you. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus led by example, and He expects us to do the same in our walk and our talk. We must guard against our tendency to judge ourselves by good intention, by others, only by their mistakes. Purity in our own life can have a positive effect on those around us. That's where the Christ-like, the Lordship. Likeness, latent sin can do what? Destroy our ability to witness. Before we move to criticize others, we should be wise to closely examine our own lives. If we stand in front of another, still clearly shackled by our own sin, we will not be able to effectively share the love and mercy of God. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Yes, love does cover a multitude of sins. That's in James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. So you're listening to the One Way Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to change the topic a little bit. The fact is, we're going to talk about what makes a biblical prophet. And are you a prophet? Or is there such a thing as a prophet today? Or is that a cachet? So please listen to the important message.
Retired or planning to retire soon? Do you want to save money by paying less on your taxes? Then let the experts at Legacy Financial show you how by visiting LegacyTaxBill.com right now. Use Legacy's Tax Bill Calculator. Fill in the value of your IRA, 401k, and other qualified plans. Retirement is something you've worked your whole life for, so don't let the IRS take that away. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com to schedule your free consultation.
Welcome back. This is the One Way Radio Network. Your host today, my name is David Gallmer. I'm the founder and CEO of this nonprofit, which is Legacy Educational Institute. Our address, if you'd like to stop by and get some of these resources, is 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA. So if you're heading on Route 18 north past Staples, Staples will be on the left-hand side. Next traffic light, turn left, where the fourth building on the left, catacorner from Butler County Community College, known as BC3. You'll see three signs on the fourth building on the left. You'll see Legacy Financial Strategies, which we do another radio show on Saturday morning. That's an hour long, where we talk financial planning, estate planning, tax planning, wealth planning. You name the investment savings, we have a variety of different strategies. So you'll see a sign that says Legacy Financial Strategies, Innovation Tax Service, and Legacy Educational Institute. If you're coming north on Route 18 past Tamar Shanner Golf Course, Combine's Restaurant on the left and Sheets on the right, next traffic light past that, turn right. That says Welcome Linden Point. That's Innovation Way. We're the fourth building on the left. Doesn't matter what door you come in, but you may want to get some of these resources. I only mentioned very few of them. We have a lot. We have The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, condensed version. Biblical Answers About Heaven by Randy Elkhorn, the condensed version. The $1 Trillion Bill, or the $1 million bill. People say, what are you talking about, Dave? It looks like a real bill, $100 bill, $50 bill, but it has a trillion or a million on it. But you know what's the most important thing is people won't throw that away is the gospel message is on the flip side. That's a great witness. Now, we don't do the converting, the convicting or the convincing or the saving. Our job is to tell. The Holy Spirit does the convincing, the convicting, the converting, and the saving. Our job is to tell. So help us fulfill the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20 and Acts 1:8. Stop by and get some of these resources. There's no charge. Or if you can't make it, give us a call at 724-983-1617. Or go to our website. It has all our contact information. OneWayToHeaven.com. And we'll be glad to mail that information out to you. And we will pay shipping and handling. So it's OneWayToHeaven.com. OneWayToHeaven.com. And that's where we post our radio shows. If you'd like to check our other show that we do on Saturday morning on WPIC 790 AM from 11 AM to 12 PM, that website is LegacyFinancialService.com, LegacyFinancialService.com. When you go there, that's a website. But if you click on the affiliate button, we have 6 other websites, a total of 7. So you have lots of good information. And Jesus preached more on the kingdom than he did on heaven and hell. And he preached more on hell than he did heaven. So the secret to spending eternity in heaven is humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, being Jesus. He said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Who did he say he is? The God? A lunatic or a liar? Again, he wants all, A-L-L, to come to repentance. Many people were called, but few are chosen because he foreknows who's going to come to him. So what we're going to talk about, what makes a biblical prophet, and can you become a prophet, or are there any prophets today? So this source is taken from Biblical Answers. And it says, prophets in Israel's history. The prophets of the Bible were somewhat mysterious. Moses was what? The first great prophet of the people of Israel who talked with God at Mount Sinai. A string of prophets would follow speaking to the people until the fall of the kingdom of Israel and Judah and even beyond while writing most of the books of the Old Testament. And several of these prophets show up after the reenactments of Israel's dilemma. But what did the prophets do? And how could the people test their authenticity to determine whether they had authority or not, or they were fraud? Following 2-part series, we'll take excerpts from the interview with Professor Brian Rickard and Tim Mahoney to gain valuable insights into these questions. First of all, from Tim Mahoney, Isaiah the prophet says that God's going to tell people what's going to happen before it happens. Multiple times he says this, the Bible, these prophets, they are intriguing me. Okay, so first off, what is a prophet? Who is a prophet? What is a prophet? Well, Brian Rickin, it says in the Old Testament there were three Hebrew terms for that. The first one was Nabi. That word refers to mouthpiece. What a prophet was designated as Nabi, that means he was standing in the role of the mouthpiece, and he was speaking forth from who? God. Another word designated to the prophet was Hosea, O-H-O-Z-E-H. That refers to one who sees, like a seer. Sometimes you probably remember that the prophet was, on occasion, referred to what? As a seer. It probably has to do with a vision or a dream. And a third is a term, Roah, R-O-E-H. That also means seer. Those are the three primary terms for prophet in the Old Testament. Does it mean he was seeing things in the future? It doesn't necessarily have to be the future. Seeing things in advance was only one of the many things a prophet did. Sometimes he would what? See in the sense that the Lord would show him a vision. The sense of something like a story. Or the Lord is introducing him something. Like he says, what is it you see? I see grapes. That sort of thing. So the Lord uses object lessons in the course of vision to teach him something. So those would be the key three terms for a prophet. These guys are recognized authorities in Israel, and they were the means via which God would communicate truth to his people. So, a key passage to sort of distinguish that in reference to Moses would be Deuteronomy chapter 18. Here's what the passage says in the reference to Moses. Moses speaking to covenant community about the future, chapter 18, verse 15 in Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him. Okay. If you have a guy who's raised up or claims to be raised up within the covenant community and says, thus says the Lord, that the common phrase in the Hebrew Old Testament, thus says the Lord. If the guy stands up and says that, you've got a couple options. What are they? One, you believe him, and then you go do what he says. Two, you don't believe him, and you're not going to do what he says. Or three, you're not sure. If you have a guy who's claiming to speak authoritatively to the covenant community on behalf of God, you better know for sure that he, in fact, is authentic and that you could trust him. Main source, always check to see what the scripture says. The Old Testament gives about 9 criteria that the prophet must meet in order to be authentic. So they had probably an issue at one time with people that were saying certain things. And they came up with some criteria. So the test and criteria itself are given an established prophet. That's key, says Moses. So the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me. And so, a prophet like him was a sort of generic, or was that specific? In other words, was Moses relating there could be other prophets throughout the years, or a specific prophet that had both a near and far fulfillment? The near fulfillment would be successors like Joshua. A far fulfillment, this would be reference to Christ. So when he says in John 5, the religious leaders could look at Moses to learn of Christ, in that sense, that was a way that could have happened. Okay, when Christ said that to the religious readers, he was referencing that he was the prophet that Moses was talking about. That's right. Okay, so the test of the true prophet. You got about 9 of them. We're going to go through them in a minute. 1, could only speak in the nature of Yahweh. And for time's sake, I'm running out of time. So we may cover that a lot more, but let me hit a couple other ones. Personal more character. Could only speak by divine inspiration. And we're going to have to cover a lot more depth about a prophet. So here's my take on it. Are there prophets today? I hear many so-called Christians say this person is a prophet. Remember, a prophet never has a wrong prediction. So if they're wrong on any one thing, they're not a prophet. So myself, I have not met a prophet. I've had people tell me they're a prophet, and I say, where did you get that inspiration from? And they'll say, such and such spoke to him and said that they're a prophet. But if you ever ask them about foretelling or any future telling or so forth, they aren't. So we'll cover a lot more depth because we're going to need a lot more time to talk about this topic because I know that's a very controversial topic, because there's many people who believe that there are prophets today that are living. I just never have met one. I just know if they give a prediction and they're wrong, they're not a prophet. So you're listening to the One Way Radio Network. Our number again, if you'd like to get some of these recourses, is 724-983-1617. Check us out on onewaytoheaven.com. Once you become a believer, if you're not a believer, the first step is to get plugged into a Bible-based Christ Center family-oriented church. The one I go to is Truth and Grace Fellowship, located at 786 Karen Lane, Hermitage, PA. They have two services on Sunday, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. You can check out their website, truthgracefellowship.com. Check YouTube. But you want to make sure they preach the word in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4. So make sure they preach the word. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But first step is, if you're not a believer, humble, repent, believe, and receive. And you'll have the know-so, not the hope-so, but you know, in fact, where you will spend eternity. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. And remember this, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Each other's secrets. Oh.